This morning, I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 is where we will begin. I'm thankful today that when you came this morning, you brought some life with you, and you started that song off well. You know, last week, we were out of town. We were on a vacation to visit my in-laws, my wife's family in Washington State, and we headed out there, I guess, December the 30th, 31st, something like that, and got back about 5 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning. Now, we flew from Pasco, Washington, all the way to St. Louis. Two flights and went to St. Louis. Got to St. Louis about 1 o'clock in the morning. You say, well, did you sleep? Were you tired? No, I have children on the plane with me. Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about life, okay? Life comes with children. Now, I'm just telling you, kids can do a lot to bring life to an airplane. For instance, I do have a story. We were sitting there on the last flight getting ready to fly from Salt Lake City to St. Louis, and myself and my son Jude were here. My wife was on the other side of the aisle, just the way they were seated. Then my two older boys, Travis and Eli, back here, and they were doing what I remember doing. We used to fly out and visit my grandparents. We would pull out the safety manual. I mean, that's just as good as a coloring book right there to a kid. I mean, that is exciting to them. And they're looking through it, and kids are not quiet. You understand, they're not quiet. Have you ever been on a plane with a child who is not happy about being there? Yeah, so that's been our child every once in a while, okay? But I hear my 5-year-old son, Travis, and he loudly proclaims, "Eli!" just like that. And I went, oh, this is going to be good. Now, I've got my hands full because I have Jude. You understand that? I have no control about what's going on behind me. And Travis says, "Eli! Eli! What?" I'm like, "Shh." And he goes, "You know what you should never bring on a plane?" Yeah, you know it's coming. And I go, no, and he goes, a bomb! I said to the flight attendant, I think these children belong to that lady right over there, right there, yeah. So the life was not just here today, it was on the plane as well, and we made it, thank God. Stand with me if you would. Verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 6. True story, no exaggeration. That is my life, traveling with our family. Amen. Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and thy whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's another word for money. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, that's an interesting thing to say, but we're going to study it in a moment. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Please read verse 33 out loud with me. Ready? Begin. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's a good verse. Let's read it one more time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that today you would give us manna from your word. I pray that you'd show us your heart from your word. I pray, God, that I would be able to be minimized in this message and that you would be able to be lifted up and glorified. And I pray that you'd please help me to know what to say and how to say it. Bless our church today, those today who chose to get up and come to the place where the Word of God is open and the fellowship of the saints is experienced. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't make it today, sickness, illness, other circumstances, Lord, many who listen by way of radio even right now, we pray your blessing upon them and for healing and help in their lives. And we thank you for your goodness to us and pray that as we meet together for the next few moments, that our hearts would be stirred by this passage and through this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, Jesus used this chapter of Scripture to teach a lot of things. We don't have to go back and read it all. If I could have today, for sake of time, we didn't, but if I could have today, I would have said, well, let's go back to verse number 1, where it teaches us in verses number 1 through 8 not to do spiritual things in the flesh. What does that mean? It means not to do the things such as praying or giving, not to do those things to impress people, but instead to do those things to glorify your Father, which is in heaven, the Bible says. Apparently, just like today, back then there were people who, when they gave with a sense of letting everybody know, here's what I did. And when they prayed, they did it loudly and eloquently, not so that God could hear, but so others could hear. And the Bible says that God deals with us on this one area called pride. He says, listen, don't do spiritual things for earthly reasons, because if you do, then that is where you will find your reward. You understand that today? Now, I like to see in the Bible where phrases repeat themselves, and you'll have to go back and study this, but over and over in the first 18 verses of the chapter, the words, they have their reward, are repeated. That means if you give to impress others but not to please God, you have your reward. You've impressed others, and that's it. If you pray so others can hear you, then you have your reward. They heard you, but God most definitely did not hear with the intent of honoring your prayer. If we fast and we're sad and in sackcloth and ashes and make ourselves into victims, the Bible says, well, you have your reward because it's not in heaven. Instead, it is here on earth. Hey, how many times are we guilty as God's people, of doing the right thing for the wrong reasons? And the Bible says we have to watch our pride. He deals with the area of pride. In verse number 9 through 13, he deals with the area of prayer, and he teaches them how to pray. And he says, pray privately, and when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on and on and on. Then he deals with, in verses 19 through 20, possessions and money. And he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse number 25 through 32, he deals with more than our possessions, he deals with our provision. He deals with the things that we absolutely need on a day-to-day basis, and he says, don't worry about those things. Instead, learn to rely on God. I love what he says. He says, the fowl of the air. He said, they don't sow, neither do they reap, and he said, and yet they're clothed and they are fed. God cares for them, and how much more important are we to God than the little bird that flies through the air? And I'm thankful for that today, because the Bible says when God created man, he created him in his own image today. And we are created in the image of God. And though we are fallen from the fellowship in the Garden of Eden and through sin and death passed upon all men, we are still supposed to reflect the image of God. And God cares for us today. I'm excited about that. But there's one more thing that God deals with in this passage of Scripture that Jesus, as he is teaching, presents to these people. He dealt not only with pride and with prayer and with possessions and with provision, but finally in verse number 33, we see that the entire chapter, the whole presentation of this content that we can study and learn from, was all meant to teach us a lesson on priorities. And that priority should mean that all of those things that we focus on, our clothing, our food, our raiment, food, drink, and raiment, and so on and so forth, are not as important as Jesus is. So I want to challenge you this morning that in the year 2020, learn to put Jesus first. Learn to put Jesus first in your life. There's no better passage of Scripture to read through in this particular time because of the message that it gives to us, that no matter what we may focus on or think is more important than maybe the spiritual aspect of our life, the Bible says, no, don't worry about those things. We need to put Jesus first. I used to make a statement, and I don't believe it's an incorrect statement. I just think it's an incomplete statement. And I talked about this before the first of the year. And the statement goes something like this. Jesus should not be first place in your life. He should be everything to you. And I still believe that statement, by the way. The Bible tells us that God is our fullness of joy. The Bible tells us that he ought to have preeminence, which is more than just prominence. I mean, it's everything in the church. So the message is true. The message is not incorrect, but rather the message is just incomplete. And I want to tell you why. Because if you want to make Jesus everything in your life, and that is what we want today, if you want to make Jesus everything in your life, you must begin, practically speaking, by making him first in your life. So I want Jesus to be everything to me. I want Jesus to be everything to me. I've got that desire in my life. Then in your life, on a practical day-to-day level, you're going to have to learn how to put him first in your life. There are a lot of illustrations in the Bible of how we're called to put Jesus first. And guys, I think I have a sermon slide back there if you want to put that up. We have, in a couple of weeks, we have Vision Sunday. And if there was ever a day where the church needs to have vision, it's today. But let me just tell you, vision is useless unless we have a church full of people who will put Jesus first. With everything in our culture and in our lives clamoring for first place, Jesus taught this radical philosophy to his followers. He said, don't worry about those things. Instead, put me first. So that sounds like a good thing, preacher. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says in our finances that the first 10% belongs to God. The Bible talks about the first fruits of all of our increase. That which we have earned, maybe we say, well, that's my money, I earned it. But we forget that God gave us the ability to have any success or increase in our life whatsoever. The Bible doesn't limit the tithe to a number. He limits it to a percentage. He says a tenth. And so off the top, before anything else, God says, first, I want you to honor me in your finances. In our schedules, you go through the Bible and you read through all of the successfully spiritual characters of the Bible. You know, you'll find one thing in common. A lot of them, if not all of them, learn to give the first part of the day to studying God and his word. Well, in our daily lives, we need to be like that. We need to learn to seek him daily. In our schedules, God says this. He says, I want you to understand that the first day of the week belongs to the Lord. You say, why do we call it the Lord's Day? Because it's the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it's the day that the church in the book of Acts made a habit of meeting together and reading and studying and teaching and serving together at the church. It was the Lord's Day. What about our abilities? The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That means of all that we have to offer, the first fruits of everything belong to him. So I like the idea of Jesus being first, but I didn't know you're going to get so specific today, Pastor. I know that's why I'm smiling, so you can't get mad at me. We've got to learn to say yes to God. We've got to learn to inventory life and say, you know, I am truly not giving God what he deserves. Now, how many of us understand today very simply, God deserves all of us today. But the way he's going to get all of you is by you saying, okay, God, I'll tell you what. Instead of me putting everything else first, thinking I have got to deal with all of these things, I've got to make this happen, I've got to make the money, I've got to make the living, I've got to provide, I've got to do all of these things, I must. Instead of doing that, say, I must have Jesus first. Well, the Bible gives us a great verse to illustrate how we can do that. Look at verse 33, and just, you don't have to read it out loud, but let me read it to you again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? All of those things that we must have: food, water, clothing, and so on. Jesus says, if you just put me first, all of these things will be added to your life by faith. Well, there's an interesting thing to think here. What is, this morning, the kingdom of God? I'll confess to you today that maybe there's not a biblical study that has brought me more confusion or consternation, if I can use those words, than the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Say, well, are they the same thing? What I can see of what the Bible says, no, they're not. Because the Bible teaches something. The Bible says that John the Baptist was saying, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by the way, I'll tell you this morning, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You watch the news, and by the way, you say, well, it's getting bad out there. No, it's getting good out there. I'm not happy about loss of life. I'm not happy about world war. I'm not happy about any of that. But the Bible says right before Jesus comes back, it's all going to happen no matter who's in the White House. So it's not getting bad. It's not falling apart. It's falling into place, isn't it? God's getting ready to do something. And so don't worry. Don't worry. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Iran's not on the throne. Donald Trump's not on the throne. America's not on the throne. God is on the throne. Yeah, I just felt like God wanted you to hear that this morning. The Bible says that one day Jesus is going to establish the kingdom of heaven. Oh, the kingdom of heaven is when the new Jerusalem is going to be established, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And when Jesus came, they thought he's getting ready to establish his kingdom. But Jesus said something to the opposite. In the book of Luke, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees in chapter 17, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, what we can see right here. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, get this. Here's what Jesus said, so that we can bank on it here today. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. What does that mean? I'm going to simplify it best I can because it is a very intricate subject to study out. But on a very basic level to understand what the kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is within you, Jesus said. If you're a child of God, then it should be the desire of every child of God, since he does not yet reign over the earth, he should reign in our hearts. And the kingdom of God is the pursuit of him. The pursuit of his righteousness and holiness. And he says in this passage of scripture, that's what you need to look for first. Some of you are looking for a job so you can have food, drink, and clothing. Some of you are looking for an easy out, or not even an easy out, just an out, some way to get out of this hole that you're in. And Jesus says, stop. Put me first. Put me first in your life. Make me the ruler of your life, and I'll take care of the rest. You ever figured out that sometimes what's important to us may be really low on the list when it comes to God's importance? There's a couple of things that I just want to share briefly, and then I'll make an application this morning about this idea of putting Jesus first. If we're going to put Jesus first, you say, okay, that sounds good, but how? And that's what I'm always concerned about when I bring a message or a sermon to God's people is how. I believe the Spirit of God is greatly responsible to teach you that. Because if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, then the Spirit of God lives within you. And he teaches us all things, the Bible says. But if we could put it on a practical level today, I would say that we need to understand two things. One is that in order to seek Jesus, to put Jesus first in your life, there has to be a change of mind. Now, I said earlier, I like to see repetition in a passage because it shows emphasis. It shows how the message is being directed. And you study the whole thing, the whole thing. The Bible's the best commentary on the Bible. You study the verses before, you study the verses after, and you outline it. And a lot of times you'll find that the structure is just right there in front of your face. And in the first part, we see it repeated over and over again, that phrase, they have their reward. They have their reward. We already talked about that. In the second half, we see another phrase. And it says this, very simply, take no thought. Say that with me, please. Take no thought. Boy, you even hesitated with me. That's pretty good. Ready? Take no thought. Yeah, the Bible says that our thinking has got to change if we're going to put Jesus first. We have to come face to face with the reality that what we think is important may be pretty far down the list to God. And there are three things that Jesus said, don't worry about these things. You read them. Very simple. He said, don't worry about what you eat. Some of you didn't worry about what you ate over Christmas. I'll tell you that right now, okay? Myself included. But in a level of, okay, how am I going to find food? Don't worry about where you're going to get food. Don't worry about where you're going to get something to drink. And don't worry about where you're going to find clothes. You know, if you don't eat for a certain period of time, you die. Isn't that amazing? Clear your mind with me. Forget your house. Forget your job. Forget everything we think we need, your phone, etc. And just think of these three basics. The Bible says the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Think about the fact that in our culture, start with food. Food is a commodity. Now, let me just tell you, by anyone's standards, or by anyone else in the world other than America, by anyone else's standards outside of here, what you are going to eat after this service is a feast. 97, we are in the top three wealthiest people in the world if you make minimum wage. And what you eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a daily basis, you had to open up your pantry and say, I wonder what I want today. But in the Bible, there weren't a lot of feasts. Now, there were some, we see them. But feasts were something to get excited about. To us, a feast could be the buffet at Golden Corral. I see, I did it. I shouldn't have mentioned it. Now you're gone. Okay. But a feast is something we live with. The Bible says this, if we didn't have the buffets, if we didn't have all of the food in our refrigerators and our cabinets and all the soup for Soup Bowl Sunday and all the different snacks and pizza that the teens are going to eat at the youth conference, if we didn't have all of that and we started to get nervous, the Bible says that we are responsible to take no thought. Well, there's another mention. It says, take no thought of what you will drink. We know Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. But you know, the average person, I'm talking the average person, couldn't go more than 3 or 4 days without water. I think the maximum they say is the possibility of maybe a week, and that would be a miserable, miserable week. Then he says this, he says, or what ye shall put on. Now, we're not talking about the fact that, of course, clothing is not as detrimental to your health, but I'm sure glad that you have on clothing today. But we could also see that clothing was invented by God. It was invented for four reasons. I don't know if I'll give you all four. It was invented for covering. Yeah. It was invented for protection. It was invented to distinguish between the genders, and it was given to us for modesty. Those are the four biblical reasons for clothing in the Bible, and all are very important. Now, let me say this today. If you did not have a coat, you would be complaining as you walked out the door. Why? Because the elements would bother you. Now, these three are really the basics of why we have jobs, why we pursue a career, so that we can have food, drink, clothing. After that, a house, after that, furniture, after that, all the other things. And here's what Jesus said. Now, just think about it. Clear your mind for a moment. Just think about this. Stop thinking about how you're going to come up with those three very important things. Now, does it surprise you that these things that are important to us seem to be minimized by Jesus? Because that's what we're seeing happen here. Now, we'll get back to it. God says, stop thinking about how you're going to make ends meet. If you put me first, I'll add these things to you. If you're going to put Jesus first, we've got to reshape our thinking. That means we prioritize, listen now, we prioritize the kingdom of God, which is within us. And we say, you know, maybe before I eat, I'll read my Bible today. I'm not going to ask you, but how many of you have ever not made it to your Bible reading because you got up and ate breakfast? Or because you had to make the coffee? Or so on and so forth. The Bible says we put Jesus first and everything else will come. Now look at the verse again. But seek ye first. Say that word with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If there's going to be the placing of Christ in priority, putting Jesus first there's got to be a change of mind. Secondly, this morning, we're getting close to the end, there's got to be a change of motivation. There's got to be a change of heart. Here's what we learn. If we will put Jesus first, and let's go back to those four activities we mentioned earlier. If we will put Jesus first and start doing spiritual activities, not to be noticed, but to please Him, the Bible says we receive great blessings from that because our reward is not here, our reward is with Christ. If we stop praying to be heard or to be seen, and we start praying, the Bible says privately, listen now, privately in our closet, and calling out to God and worshiping God and blessing God and saying, God, this is not my time for me. This is your time for you. Then we please God and we receive His blessing. Well, instead of laying up for yourselves treasure here on earth and saying, I got to have, and I've got to make ends meet, the Bible says that if we have the kingdom of God as first place, seek ye first. Listen, young people, right here, please. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says if we will do that, then instead of saying, how can I get, we'll say, Lord, who can I be a blessing to today? Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. If I could live for others, that I might live like thee. If we'll say, oh, I'm not going to worry about how I'm going to make ends meet, but I'm just going to worry about keeping first things first and trust God to take care of the rest. The Bible says God can add things to your life that will be unexplainable. You know, the fleshly way to live is to carve out time for what we think is important, which is our job, our family, and these things are important things, so don't hear me wrong here today. Our job, our family, other important things, and then if we are good at being organized, and if we get done early, then maybe we'll plug in some spiritual activity here and there. Maybe the Bible, maybe church, maybe fill in the blank. Some of you are thinking, well, there's no way I can be faithful to this. There's no way I can prioritize church over a job. Now listen, I'm not up here saying quit your job. I am saying put Jesus first. And God will take care of you. Well, I don't know if I can prioritize God over my devotions because I just don't have time. But I'm saying to you today, put Jesus first and read your Bible daily. I'm not saying to you that you have to take all of your money and put it in the offering plate. I am not saying that to you, but if you do that, you'll make me so happy. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I'm not saying that, oh, well, let's just take it, sell it all, and go. Put everything, we'll just go out and live in the wilderness. Some of you, that would make you happy, I think, you know. I'm not saying that, but I am saying stop making excuses and saying, well, I can't give because I can't afford it. I've heard that one before, haven't we? And say, I'm going to put Jesus first. I like basketball. I like football. Basketball, how many of you have ever gone to see the Harlem Globetrotters when they've been in town? Okay, a few of us. One of those guys, he'll get down on the floor and he'll wrap these little things around his knees and a couple on his shoulders, and he'll get about 6 or 7 basketballs and he'll start spinning those basketballs, and he'll put one here and one here, one here, one here, one here, maybe keep a hand free, one on his head. I mean, it's incredible. But you know what he has to do? He has to keep hit. Does that make you tired? And that's kind of how we live our lives, isn't it? Oh, I got to keep the bills paid, and I got to keep my family time, and I got to go to church, and I got to do this. I look like an idiot, don't I? Oh, don't say amen, please. But I got to do all these things, and boy, I'm just moving and moving and moving. And yet the Apostle Paul said, listen to this, this one thing I do. You will be surprised at how much healthier your family is if you put Jesus first. You'll be shocked at how all of your bills, and I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, nor am I preaching a poverty gospel today, but you'll be shocked at how God takes care of you financially if you just give him what already belongs to him. You will be shocked if you say, I am going to make a habit in my life of giving God not even 1% of my week. I mean, think about it. 140 some hours in a week, something like that. 168, is that what I heard? And at most, we'll ask you for 4 hours a week. Whew. Wow. And I'm not suggesting that you have to be every place all the time to be a good Christian, but you will be shocked at how God normalizes your schedule when you put him first and come to church. I'm preaching to the choir, you're here. There's a story in the Bible of two women. Both of them love Jesus. Both of them very close to him. One was named Martha. The other was named Mary. And when Jesus showed up one day, one of them, Martha, she did what she does best. She got the utensils out. She got the cooking ingredients out. She got the pots and pans ready. She got the table spread. And she was working. And if you had seen Martha that day, you would have walked in and said, wow, that woman is busy doing what she loves. But she fell into a trap that we often fall into. She was busy, active. And she peeked her head around the corner. And there was her dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sister. Doing nothing. That's it, I've had it. She walks in, takes that towel, throws it on the floor, and says, Jesus, you need to tell her to get in here and help me. I am breaking my back to make this meal. Okay, I don't know how I did that good of an impression on it, but that is exactly what it looked like. I'm just telling you, okay? And Jesus said this. Listen to this. He said, Martha, Martha. He rebuked her gently, but listen what he said. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you say, that's my life? I am careful and troubled about many things. And he said this. Listen to what he said. He said, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Do you realize it was better for Mary to, as the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Some of us need to learn to put the serving towel down. And you said, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. But we need to prioritize in our life Jesus. Matthew Henry said, let all of the concerns of this life be made subordinate to those of the life to come. We must seek the things of Christ more than our own things, and if ever they come in competition, we must remember to which we are to give preference. Very successful businessman in the 19th century, John Wanamaker, department store, Philadelphia, also became the Postmaster General of the United States. But through all of his success, he maintained his position as Sunday school superintendent of what was then the largest Sunday school in the world. It's a big job. They asked him, they said, how is it possible for you to do all of this business and yet still maintain this service on a weekly basis? He said these words, early in life I read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he then made this statement. He said, the Sunday school is my business. All the rest are just things. When he died, his estate was worth over $100 million. That's $1.5 billion in today's money. But one thing he never neglected was he had a little soundproof room somewhere in his house that he would go and get on his knees for every day. Hear this now. You're going to say, oh my, how many hours was he on his knees? Did he fast? Did he pray? No, 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. And he said, nothing takes priority over my time with God, over the Word of God and my prayer life. Some of you think, well, I have got to do what I'm doing in order to get to where I want to be. But you don't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Father in